Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday morning. Monday, March the 30th, 2026. Last Monday in the month of March. Spring right around the corner. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. And we've got a lot to talk about from this past weekend. The No Kings rally in Marion on Saturday. The 20th annual United Heritage Hall on Saturday night. I attended both events to cover them, and we'll get to that as the morning progresses. But we're going to kick off the morning this morning because over the weekend, I received a report from a Marion resident that a political sign had been vandalized in their yard. And the first person to respond to that report of vandalization was one of our Marion County Commissioners, Dr. Mark Davis. And heaven knows there's a lot going on in the county aside from the vandalization of this sign. So I wanted to open up the morning this morning with our Marion County Commissioner, Dr. Mark Davis, to talk about this sign vandalization as well as a couple of other things. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Scott. Good to talk to you this morning.
Always good to talk with you. Dr. Davis, let's start off with the sign vandalization. I believe you got the same email that I got. For people who don't know what we're talking about, explain what you saw. There were pictures, and what you think happened.
Actually, Scott, I did not see the pictures, but I was texting back and forth with Ben Weber. Because, you know, there's no secret I've been supporting Ben and his campaign, and I think he used the word silly. He thought it was like a silly act, whatever happened with the sign, with the zip ties, with the cutting of the sign, and he was planning on doing a full restoration or repair or replacement of that sign. I was listening to the weather forecast, and it really got me thinking. The most damage done to all the signs across the county, no matter who the candidate is this crazy wind we've been having, Scott. These 50, 60, 70-mile-hour gust of winds are terrible on the candidate signs this year.
Yeah, absolutely right. We've had two major wind storms, and they certainly have knocked over a lot of political candidate signs and a lot of people running in this May primary on Cinco de Mayo. I saw the pictures of this, and as you said, well, I should mention for the audience, it's one of the big Ben Weber signs. It's not one of the smaller ones, and it had been knocked over, it looked like. Obviously, we did not have a lot of wind. This report, I think, came in on Sunday morning. We didn't have a lot of wind on Saturday. Why do you think somebody would do this?
I'm kind of hoping that we can chalk this up to just youthful vandalism, Scott, and not somebody that's so passionate about one candidate or the other, partaking in this type of activity. We certainly all have our strong political preferences, whether it's the House race, the Ohio House race, or the local county commissioner primary, which we can talk about that later if you want, about the idea that four candidates are vying for the commissioner's position. But I tell you what, being a House candidate, I salute all the candidates because that's a tough job running back and down to Columbus all the time. And really, I think their pay rate is no more than a county commissioner's. And the number of events that they have to attend and social functions, it's really quite a... Quite a duty, quite an honor to be in that position, but also just quite a service to the citizens, Scott.
Absolutely, and I do want to talk about that commissioner's race for the person who will follow you as you are not running for re-election. But Dr. Davis, this 86th district race, you know, whether this was vandalism or not, I can't say, I don't think you can say, I'm not even sure the person who made the claim can say, but the reason there is a specter of possible vandalism is because this race has gotten rather sharp-elbowed, should we say, to put it nicely. People are making claims back and forth. People have claimed the Republican Party has made an endorsement in this race, and then the party says they didn't make an endorsement. It seems like every other day one of the candidates says somebody has endorsed them. It's become a very contentious race, to say the least, and I think that's why people are very passionate about this race. What have you made about how this race has developed?
Well, I'm very happy that we've got three good candidates running. You know, at the end of the day, we're going to end up with somebody that's going to serve our district, Scott. You know, I hope it's Ben Weber, but if it's one of the other candidates, we're going to work with whoever's in that office. We've got to work with our state representative at the county level, at the city level. So I'm just glad that we've got three people willing to put the time, energy, effort. And I think you're probably right. As we get closer to Cinco de Mayo, we're probably going to see some more sharp elbows thrown in this race, and that's just kind of inevitable. But I think the key thing that I'm seeing is that it's not really coming from the candidates. It's coming from kind of that sphere of influence outside the candidates. And I have seen some of that rhetoric that the Republican Party is endorsing, you know, one candidate over the other, and I'll be honest, just last Tuesday I attended one of our GOP meetings at Republican headquarters here in Marion, and there was really little discussion of the election. It was more focused on the upcoming Harding Day dinner. That's an annual event that the Republican Party holds, and we have a guest speaker. I hear what you're saying, but, you know, I'm really not in that loop That's throwing the sharp elbows.
Well, very early on, you endorsed Ben Weber almost right after he announced his candidacy. Why was he the guy for you? Why was he the candidate for you?
Well, I kind of anticipated that question this morning, Scott, and there was just an instant connection between me and Ben. I've had the opportunity now to be with him and talked to him and his wife, Emily, on multiple occasions, and there was just something that clicked, almost an unspoken connection between the two of us. I just liked his youthful energy. I just saw him as a very, very nice individual with the ability to really lead, very intelligent, you know, well-trained, I'm kind of the mindset now, Scott, that we don't necessarily need candidates or people filling offices that have had years of government experience. We're at the point, and I think even on a national level, we need individuals who don't want to become career politicians, but youthful, young, fresh idea, new blood inside the government. You know, we've got a stalemate right now on a national level with funding DHS, and I plan to travel next month, and I'm just hoping that TSA is back to normal. I'm not necessarily a patient man and want to get through those lines as soon as possible, but let's change things at the ballot box. Let's everybody get out and vote for somebody and put somebody in office that's fresh, has new ideas, maybe has a different background than the traditional government servant.
A fair amount of money being spent in this race. Do you think Ben can pull it out? We're about a month away now from the election, or primary, I should say.
I really do. There's three candidates for this position, you know, Davis, Wolf, and Weber, and I think Ben, I don't know if you can really put a lot of stock in the yard signs that you see around Marion, but I see an awful lot more Weber signs than I do any of the other candidates, and I know he resonates with the conservative base of the Republican Party, so I'm optimistic that Ben can pull this off.
You know, Dr. Davis, when I talk to people, what I hear, a lot of people haven't heard from Stephen Wolf. He got in this race rather late. Ben Weber definitely, I think, has the sign advantage, although I haven't counted every sign in Marion County. And Weslyn Davis does have the endorsement. I believe she has the endorsement of one of your fellow county commissioners, Dr. Davis, and a lot of city council. Why was Weslyn Davis or Stephen Wolf, why were they not the candidates for you?
Well, I met Stephen about a year ago. He came to one of our Republican events, and I found him to be a very nice, polite young man. I know he's got some experience with local government, and I think he would be a fine candidate. I just never really connected or communicated with him. There was really nothing after that one meeting, whereas Ben took the initiative to kind of, you know, set up a couple meetings with me. Weslyn, same thing. I kind of met her once at one of our Republican meetings. It may have been the Harding Day dinner last year, as a matter of fact, Scott, but just never really had any follow-up. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. They're busy candidates. They've got a lot of commissioners and city council people to talk to, but Ben and I connected. We had multiple meetings with one another, and just the relationship grew from there.
One more question about this. Weslyn Davis, this is not the first time she has run for this position. She ran in the Republican primary 2 years ago against then-incumbent Tracy Richardson, and that was a very contentious primary. A matter of fact, Saturday night at a night at Heritage Hall, I ran into somebody who wanted to talk about this and talked about the contentiousness of that primary. Do you think in any way the things that were said in that primary have hurt Weslyn going into this primary?
God, I'm probably not as up to speed on that conversation or that interaction as what I should be, so I really don't have an answer on that. I know that Tracy has always been a supporter of Ben Weber in this race, and I think that lends a lot of credibility to Ben Weber as well.
Do you think she'll endorse him?
I don't know. I really encourage her to do that. I don't know if she's listening this morning or not, but I would encourage her to do that. We've spoke several times, and then just the conversation between the two of us, she says that Ben Weber is the preferred candidate.
Well, that's I don't want to get too deep into a private conversation, but does she think that he will pull this off?
You know, we've really never gone there, Scott, as far as, you know, the probability and the prediction as far as can he, you know, move this across the finish line or not. So I would have to say I'm not up to speed on that.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens between now and Cinco de Mayo and what happens on Cinco de Mayo. But something that is going to happen that night is we are going to find out who is going to take the seat that you will vacate at the end of this year, because at this point there are no Democrats or independents running for your seat, but we've got four Republicans in a Republican primary, four Republicans that a lot of people in this county know very well, former Marion City Councilman Jason Schauber, former Marion County Commissioner, the man you unseated, Ken Stiverson, Mrs. Neff, who is the wife of Mike Neff, former Marion City Councilman, and we've got Tim Mooney, who's a pretty well-known name in the Republican Party. What do you make of these four candidates?
God, again, I think we're going to be well-served no matter who gets into office. Certainly Stiverson's got the years of experience, but I early on came out and supported Christy Neff. I felt that Christy had fresh ideas. Again, it gets back to my notion that maybe government is ready for people that don't have years of government experience, that can bring business world, real world experience into the office. The notion of fresh blood, fresh ideas, I like that. But I've had lunch or coffee with all of these candidates. They've kind of picked my brain about what being a commissioner is all about or how the process works, and all of them have been very cordial, very kind to me, Scott. So it's going to be interesting. Unfortunately, there's four candidates, which means the vote's going to get split in all different directions. So it's really going to be hard to predict who emerges out of this, but I've got my support behind Christy Neff.
You know, it's very interesting because a lot of people feel, and I think it's been said by some candidates, that Mr. Stuyvesant, Mrs. Neff, and Mr. Mooney are all very immersed in the Republican Party, and Jason Schaber, although he is a Republican, is not really immersed in the party. Do you think because of the number of candidates and the splitting of the vote, as we just talked about, that there's a possibility for Jason to take this?
Well, I would say that, you know, I don't think it's any secret, and Jason would probably agree with this, that he's not your prototypical Marion County Republican. I haven't seen him at a lot of our meetings, a lot of our events. I think he kind of prides himself on not just being independent, but being an independent thinker. And, you know, that's a good thing, you know, being able to think for yourself, have your own fresh ideas. There's nothing wrong with that. How that plays with the traditional conservative Republican vote in Marion, that's another story. And I think that's maybe a little bit of a gap that Jason needs to fill in his campaign, is really speaking to the conservative traditional Republican vote in Marion County.
Now, the Republican Party says they do not endorse candidates prior to the primary. But what's the feeling? You go to these meetings, the Republican meetings. Is there a feeling of who they like in this particular race, the commissioner race?
Well, I think, you know, as far as that's concerned, you know, maybe Ken Stuyvesant does have some advantage. You know, he is the current chairman of the Republican Party, so he certainly has an awful lot of visibility at these meetings, at these events. He's being very gracious this year. He's going to help serve the food at the Harding Day dinner. I think he's preparing one of his traditional pork loins for the dinner. So that's very nice of Ken to do that. But as far as an endorsement, that's just not a traditional thing, is to endorse any candidate in a primary.
And back to the 86th district again, is there a feeling there, again, not an endorsement, but just a feeling of who the Marion County Republican Party is leaning toward?
I would say, you know, off the record, that there's probably some, you know, traditional or long-term members of the Republican Party that want Ben Weber in that office. I think that whether Tracy has endorsed him publicly and officially or not, I think that there's a lot of loyalty and a lot of respect for Representative Richardson and her opinion. So I think that weighs a huge advantage in Ben Weber's direction.
Has she ever said anything at a meeting in front of people, or are these all basically just private conversations?
To my knowledge, you know, I haven't been to that many meetings recently where Tracy's also been in attendance, but I believe these are all mostly private conversations.
Dr. Davis, I do want to come to the county here for a minute before we wrap this up, but I want to go to the state level, because we've got a very interesting few races here, and one of those is for governor, and it's kind of interesting to talk to a doctor, yourself being a doctor.
Right.
Vivek Ramaswamy seemingly is having some trouble with the Republican Party right now. Even though he is endorsed by President Trump, he is endorsed by the state Republican Party. A lot of Republicans have turned on him, and in most polls, he is either tied or behind Dr. Amy Acton. He also faces a primary challenge from Casey Putch, who has went all in on attacking Vivek. Vivek has had to do this $10 million ad drop to get his name back out there. What happened to the candidacy of Vivek Ramaswamy? A lot of people would have felt he was a shoo-in last year, and not so this year.
Well, first of all, I'm just thinking what I could do with $10 million, Scott.
All right, wouldn't that be nice?
One thing that I saw recently, and this was just on, I don't know if it was on the news or in social media, but how many of the county sheriffs in Ohio, Ohio's 88 counties, supported Ramaswamy. And that really spoke to me in terms of credibility, you know, because the sheriffs really won't give their support to just anyone. It's going to be somebody that aligns with very principled values, very conservative and, you know, pro-law enforcement values, which I'm all about as well.
Was there ever any thought, and we know you're a Republican, for voting for Amy Acton? She's a doctor. This would be the first time, I believe, that a doctor would be elected to be governor. What do you make of Amy Acton?
I never really connected with her, Scott. I don't know what it was, but just something about, some of her decisions, some of her actions, I just never really connected with her point of view, and just always felt that Ramaswamy was probably the better candidate. Hard for me to give specifics, but, when something clicks with a voter, it just clicks with the voter. There's some type of connection, whether it's logically thought out or not. It's just a connection, and it's a feel. We certainly know that politics and voting is not a scientific method. There's a lot of emotion involved, a lot of feeling involved in this. And on that note, I would just hope that everyone gets out on May 5th. Traditionally, primaries are hard to get voters come out to, but I would really encourage all your listeners to make sure that they cast their vote on May the 5th.
There's going to be a lot of races that day in the Democratic Party, and certainly here in Marion, specifically that commissioner's race in the Republican Party. Want to talk about the county very quickly here. It's your last year there, Dr. Davis, but the big news story as we were coming into the new year was that the county is essentially not as financially stable as we thought that they were, that some changes are going to be made. We've heard that possibly there could be layoffs, possibly taxes could be going up. What, for people who don't attend these meetings, what's being talked about to get the county to where they need to be financially before next year?
I think that right off the bat, I want to kind of dispel any thoughts of layoffs at this point in time or in the near future. There has been no official conversations about layoffs or tax increases. As a matter of fact, Scott, the first administrative meeting on Tuesday, we will go into a budget review session. We're going to start doing budget review quarterly instead of just once yearly. The county was behind, and this has really been a kind of a cumulative thing over several years where we've gotten ourselves in a negative position. But I think there is light at the end of the tunnel just by controlling spending on appropriations and each department kind of tightening their belt. I think we're going to end up in a lot better shape than we were in December of 25.
Final question I have for you, Dr. Davis, this morning. You mentioned to me in an exclusive last year at the Marion County Fair that you would have resigned your position as Marion County Commissioner to become the Economic Development Director for Marion. The mayor at one time said that that was not going to happen, that he would not support that. Then the city got into some financial trouble, to say the least. There is no economic development director for the first time in many, many years in the city of Marion. You said you would do this at a very low rate of pay at that time. I don't know that the city is going to be able to afford somebody in the near future. Is this something you still want to do when you leave the county commissioner's position at the end of the year?
Well, as far as support from both sides of the street, Scott, and I mean this in a nice way, not in a condescending way, but the support from the city and the county right now due to the economics within each entity, it just can't happen for this position. Would I do it for gratis? Possibly. But I'm going to wait and see after December 31st, which will be my last day in office this year. I'm going to see which direction God points me in, Scott. There's something waiting out there for Mark Davis. I don't know what it is, but there's something waiting out there for me. If it would happen to be something with development or serving as an ambassador for our community, I would definitely consider that. But as far as anything structurally from the city or the county, it's just not going to happen.
Is there anything on your mind as far as what you want to do?
Well, I have had some very brief conversations with the hospital about possibly returning to the medical field in some capacity, but that's very, very early in the conversation phase.
And I do want to mention that, of course, the most people know this, the sales tax is maxed out at this point, so sales taxes cannot be raised in the county. Dr. Davis, just a fun question before we wrap up here. There was news last week that as we head into the 250th anniversary of this country on July 4th is the date of the anniversary of the 250th of this country, but we found out that for the first time, Donald Trump's name will go on the money. A sitting president's name will go on the money. And of course, that's kind of a special thing for us here in Marion, because Mary Ellen Withrow is the current Guinness Book of World Records holder for having her name on more currency than anybody in the world. I talked with Mary Ellen about this on Friday night. She's not very happy with it, because of course the treasurer's name has to come off the money for the president's name to go on the money. How do you feel about this?
You know, I've always been a Trump supporter, but I think sometimes he's gone a little bit too far with some of his actions and ideas. And I think the naming rights on a lot of the things that he's changed in the country, I think he's gone too far on that, Scott. That's just my personal opinion, but, you know, what happens when the next president comes by and wants to do the same thing? So we may be setting a dangerous precedent here.
So you feel the money is a step too far?
I think so, yes.
All right. Dr. Davis, I always appreciated your candid nature, and you've got a few months left in office, so hopefully we'll be able to visit as time goes along.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Dr. Mark Davis, Marion County Commissioner. Well, there I think we covered the waterfront on a whole lot of things, and I think they were important things to talk about. Phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, there's that conversation about what's going to happen with the county, what's going to happen in these political races. It's all very interesting. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to jump on here real quick and say I totally disagree with Dr. Davis. I think experience is priceless. I think experience allows you to see pitfalls and hazards ahead. And when you're making decisions, it allows you to look at that decision and see maybe two or three or four steps down the road how that is going to affect different things. With saying that, I'm also about term limits. I'm not for political dynasties. I think we absolutely need new blood, and we need it coming in consistently. I think I would recommend or suggest running politics just like an apprenticeship program. You know, in the trades, we used to have, and we still do, but we had apprenticeship programs where young people came in and you worked with the older tradespeople, and you work on a daily basis, and you pick up the skills for the trade. But you learn the little tricks of the trade. You learn the little ins and outs and the little intricacies. of you know, the job. You know that you only learn with time on the job. You know, Mr. Davis says often. Dr. Davis says often, when he's been interviewed, that, you know, he's not up to speed as he should be. He has said that in numerous of his interviews with you and other people, that, you know, he should know better, he should know more, he should have, you know, learned more, he should have studied up on this. And then he's now endorsing, you know, Kristi Neff. Kristi Neff had a position in somebody else's campaign as one of the financial officers, and there were issues with the financial paperwork that was turned into the election boards, and they were asking why certain things were done, and Christie's response was ignorance of the rules. So why would you accept a position to do something for somebody as important as that? And, you know, especially in an election, that's a short-term thing, and that's, you know, very important. And why would you accept that position and then not bone up on the rules and figure out what you're, you know, you need to know for the job? I would also say that Christie is the OSHA competent person for Buckeye Ridge Habitat for Humanity. That job requires several years, many years of experience on the job, in the field. If you read the OSHA paperwork, it says a competent person is defined by their ability to identify hazards and their authorized capacity to correct them. They must have enough knowledge, training, and field experience to recognize hazards in specific areas like construction, excavation, and scaffolding. That comes with time on the job. You know, I'd love to see where her experience levels and where she worked in construction for any length of time that she was able to, without lying, to say that she has this experience. How is she protecting people on those habitat jobs when she's incompetent to do the job that she took on? Again, this came from a man who has said repeatedly, Dr. Davis says repeatedly, and he said it today, that I'm not up to speed as I should be. And then he endorses somebody else who is not up to speed as they should be.
Well, what do you make of the, and again, we can't say it's an outright vandalization, but what do you make of the possible vandalization of the Ben Weber sign?
Well, it's bullshit. It's petty. It's childish. It's indicative of this whole national scene where it's you know, good for one side to be petty and bully and this and that, and then, you know, so the other side. It's just going to enable, and it's going to keep going down this road until, as I say often, you know what, the Delta Force or the Navy SEALs choose to be elite. So they self-police, they constantly go back and see if they're holding the standard, if they are stepping up to the plate. You know, again, like Dr. Davis or Christy Neff, if you're going to take on a position, step up to the plate. You know, I say vote for Jason Schauber. I say vote for a man who I've watched personally on council question his own party, vote against his own party, because it was the right thing to do. It's not about party politics. It's about what gets the issues solved and resolved and takes care of the Marion, Ohio constituents. You want leadership to have experience to be able to see the pitfalls and the hazards ahead.
And final question, how do you feel about the treasurer's name coming off the money for the first time since 1861 and the president's going on the money coming up this summer?
Well, again, and I know, you know, you like to keep your show clean, but it's a total bullshit shit show. I mean, really, you're going to put your... As I said, I think Donald Trump in his first term, I voted for him. I think he had God opened a door for him and had an opportunity to do great things because he was not in politics. He was not in the machine. And from day one, the day one that he took office, it became about him. It became about the size of the inauguration crowd. And I knew right then I made a mistake. You know, it is what it is.
It is. Hey, well, thank you for calling in. I always appreciate your opinion. Stay with us.
Yeah, but have a great day.
All right, we've got some time left here in hour number one, 47 minutes past the hour. If you've got any thoughts on anything, feel free to give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We always appreciate the calls that come in and the opinions that are espoused in those calls. And Dr. Mark Davis kicked off the morning this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Good Monday, Sean. How are you?
Oh, it's a wonderful... Well, it's not bad temperature-wise. 56 degrees, that's not bad.
I was awake at 2 a.m. this morning. It's spring break, and I was awake at 2 a.m. My brain decided, let's plan the week.
Well, there
you... It was 54 degrees.
Was it
2 a.m.?
At 2 a.m. That's not bad
mm-hmm.
either. No.
Yeah, I was surprised. But on to Davis and on to what Phil was saying there about Christy Neff. There is a situation, and I have the documents, where she was the treasurer for Pam Larkin. So we're talking a second ward city council. Not a big dollar amount, not a big campaign, not a lot of receipts and bookkeeping and all of that sort of thing to do, and she wasn't able to manage that. And not only did she not manage it appropriately and say that she was ignorant of the rules, she just flat out ignored the certified letters being sent by the Board of Elections to her. And then it's actually at the state level. It went to the state level. I don't know what the resolution was because I'm waiting for the records request on that. And the state is slow because it's a state entity, not a local entity. So it takes longer to get records fulfilled from them. But her excuse was, I was ignorant of the rules. As Phil said, when you're talking about campaign finances, that's not something you're allowed to be ignorant of the rules of. And if you are, then you need to pass it along to someone else. So the fact that she was willing to do that with a local second ward campaign, it kind of raises an eyebrow to me. Of course, then she and I have the personal history of the way she spoke to me and about me at council. But as far as Davis goes, as Phil said, this man's talking about after 4 years, he still doesn't know the job completely. Well, 3 years. I don't want to overspeak here. After 3 years, he still doesn't know the job completely. I don't think we should choose, and I said this before he ever endorsed anybody, I don't think we should pick his replacement. I don't think we should take his suggestion for his replacement when he doesn't even know what he's doing still. And he admits as much.
Well,
what makes him the expert on that job to say, yes, she should replace me?
Well, I don't know that any endorsement makes anybody an expert. I think that's what we've learned as we've went down the road. I think it's just, who am I going to vote for, and do I want to say this publicly if somebody asks me? Because
so I guess as the voters, we should just kind of take into consideration what Mark Davis said. He's still talking about there's not going to be any layoffs anytime soon. There's not going to be any tax increases. Well, Mark Davis, there's no ability to increase taxes. The county doesn't have the ability to raise any more revenue. We have to live within the dollar amount that we have. We don't have an option like the city does. We can't raise income taxes. We can't add fees and all this other stuff. That's just not how it works. So for him to say, well, we're not going to raise taxes, that's because you can't legally.
No,
so there's going to have to be cuts. And he sounds like he wants to dip out before he has to make any of them, is what it sounds like.
Well, one of the problems is the misinformation that gets out there. And the two things that I keep hearing most from people are county-wide, for the county, they want to talk about layoffs and they talk about tax increases. And I don't think that the majority of people are aware that the county runs off sales tax and that that is already maxed out. So
it's maxed out, people. We cannot raise the sales tax any higher. It's at the limit set by the state.
Right. So I think that's what's interesting is that most people aren't aware of that. And also...
And now listen, Ken Stuyvesant, who was running for county commissioner, made sure that the sales tax got pushed to the limit. So we've got somebody that's running, asking for their job back, that already took us to the brink on what we can collect, so we're out of options as far as how much money we can collect. We've got Mark Davis that doesn't seem to realize that we're at peak collection rates, endorsing Christy Neff. But people need to pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Well, and in other races, as we're a month away, what do you make of the alleged, vandalization of the Ben Weber sign?
I believe it was kids. Or maybe
kids?
People walking by. I don't think it was politically motivated. I think it just might have been some heathens, whether they were kids or adults. I know about where the sign is. It's pretty close to a public street. I think if somebody really, if it was politically motivated, the whole sign would have went down, not just one side being cut.
No, but what I do think is interesting, from my understanding, and I have not been over to that yard, there are other political signs in that
mm-hmm.
yard that were not
yes.
touched. That's odd. Now, I'm not saying this is politically motivated. I don't think we're quite...
I don't know if the cables were cut, or I know the one pole was, like, knocked down or ajar, or I don't know how it was fastened, so I don't know if the cables were cut or not.
Well, that's the only thing that jumped out at me was if you were going
to... It very well could have been politically motivated, but yes, there are other signs over in that area that were not tampered with.
Well, that's what
there
was...
There are other signs in that yard that were not tampered
well,
with.
Well, that's what was strange to me, and again, I'm not saying it was politically motivated. I don't know anything for sure, but I thought when I first saw the pictures, because they were sent to me, I thought, isn't it weird that that's the sign that was vandalized, but there's one so close to it that it's in the picture, and
yeah.
and it is not vandalized. And I thought
so
that's
what made me
odd.
Think it was this random vandals was because that was the only sign that was touched, and it was just the one side. I mean, if you really wanted to destroy it, wouldn't you destroy the sign itself? Because the sign can still be used; it just needs to be reattached.
Well, I would.
And it's
so.
Not good, regardless. Somebody vandalized the sign, as far as that goes. I mean, it. Whether it was politically motivated or not, it wasn't theirs, and they touched it. So that's not a good thing.
I guess it was interesting, and I'll get to a lot of this next hour, but Saturday afternoon, I covered the No Kings rally. Then Saturday night, I was invited to cover the 20th annual United Heritage Hall. Now, you would think the majority of the off-the-record political conversations would happen at No Kings. I don't think I had an off-the-record political conversation, period, at the No Kings rally, but at Heritage Hall that night, I had several off the record. Maybe it's just a different atmosphere.
You going to get into the gossip next hour, are you?
Well, I will say this. I'll say this, that and again, because it's off the record, I'm not going to report anything specifically here. And I'm
well,
not,
we don't need names, but you can tell us what you heard,
well,
can't you?
Well, here's the thing. That I got the email about that, the newspaper got it, Dr. Davis got it, that email went
the
to
sign,
a lot of
people. Yeah, I got
you
know, it.
About
I got it
sign.
As well.
You got it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, that came the next morning, because Night at Heritage Hall was Saturday night. And honestly, the conversation that I was hearing was about the 86th District, and they were very personal stories about certain candidates in that particular race.
Really?
Oh, yes. And these were from people who are registered Republicans. And, you know, the...
Scandalous?
Well, the inside stories you hear, I'm telling you, are very... very rough, and I don't know. It's shocking to me the things that have been done, because
have you been watching the local Republican Party implode on itself over this 86th district thing? I mean, they're having flat out wars on Facebook.
Well, I think that's just a I guess what are you speaking to directly?
Okay, so there was a poll, I think we discussed this briefly, on some local page that was asking who they thought was going to win the 86th district. And I don't know if they forgot to log out or what it was, but the Marion, Ohio Republican Party page, their official page, voted for Ben Weber. This was after they'd been telling everyone, we're not endorsing anyone in this race, it's against our bylaws. And then Ralph Smith comes out and says, well, the December 3rd meeting sure did seem like you were telling us to endorse Ben Weber. And if we're not going to endorse people, then da-da-da, and then on their page they would have two Weslin posts. They have four Weslin posts in a row, and then like 13 hours later they had two Ben posts in a row. And posts are getting deleted, and people are fighting in the comment section. I mean, they're going at it. And then they've got the yards with one yard will have Ben Weber and Weslin in it. And across the street you'll have Weslin, and then down on the corner you'll have Ben, and then somebody's sign is bigger. And I'm like, if both of them, if you have both signs in your yard, is like one spouse obligated to vote for one person and is the other? I mean,
well,
then do you stand over their shoulder and make sure that they did it?
Well, I don't.
So they don't go in there and use their own free will?
I don't think we have talked about this, because that's the first I've heard of it. So
yeah.
So now somebody did a poll? I didn't even know we had polling in Marion.
It was an online. It was not official. So, people were voting, you know, it's just like a yes or no. Well, it had the candidate's name, though. And whoever, I don't know if it's one person that runs the local Republican page or if it's multiple people, but they didn't log out, or they did it on purpose, and they voted for Ben Weber.
Well, who did the poll?
I don't know. One of those Robert Landon pages.
Oh, well, now see...
multiple pages.
Well, now see, here's the problem.
It was unofficial. I mean, it was just literally quick, you know.
Right,
but
now,
they forgot to log out.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, hasn't that group endorsed Weslin?
I don't know.
I mean,
somebody else sent it to me.
I don't really follow that organization, but
I think they have because someone I know that is supporting Weslin pretty hardcore is affiliated with them. So yes,
right.
I do believe that's accurate.
Isn't that a little tainted in and of itself to run a poll? I mean, because who won the poll? I'm guessing I can predict this.
I don't remember. I think I was just taken back by the fact that the Republican Party voted for Ben on that one.
Well, because here's the
they put out a big press release not long ago, Scott. It was on their page that we don't endorse people against our bylaws. I mean, they wanted to make it
right,
known
right.
because
I guess
I think somebody had, I think it was Kevin Davidson that said he was supporting Weslin, and they just wanted to make it abundantly clear he wasn't speaking for everybody.
Well, I guess here's what I'm getting at, and I'm not saying the Republican Party didn't do this, but here's what I would find suspect about that. And again, I don't have any, I'm hearing about this for the first time, but if indeed...
I'll send it to you during the break.
Well, but if indeed this group has endorsed Weslin, and if indeed she does have more votes in this poll, I would suspect her to, because this is the group that supports her and has endorsed her.
Right.
And also, if they're the ones putting out the information that the Republican Party has endorsed Ben, that makes him look bad. Being put out by the group that's already endorsed Weslin, that seems... I'm not saying it didn't happen, but that seems...
Oh, it happened.
Right, right.
But they took to infighting about it.
Right, but I'm just saying... you know, to put that out there...
It's all getting pretty crazy, and I'll tell you who I'm voting for, whoever the third guy is, because none of them want him, so he sounds like the guy for me.
Well, all I know is that whole thing is...
I'll know his name when I get in there and see it.
Why don't people just endorse her by name? I don't understand organizations endorsing people. I don't get that.
I don't know why, because, I mean, no one's endorsement around here means anything to me.
Well, no, but I guess I'm just a little confused. And you know what? If the Republican Party...
They're fighting like middle school girls. And the fact that they're fighting like middle school girls, anybody they're fighting over is not... I'm not poking the button next to their name.
Yeah, but do you think that they... Here's what I'm trying to figure out. That they got on...
They didn't realize... that they were underneath the Republican profile, whoever runs the page. I don't think they realized that they hadn't switched profiles. Because you can run a business page and from your personal page.
Right, but is
you
that...
You just have to switch back and forth.
Right, but it's one person running the page.
I don't know, because the way they post stuff back and forth, like I said, they had the four Weslin posts in a row, and then 9 hours later, they had Ben posts, like three of them in a row. So it's almost like the Facebook... administrators, admins have gone on, they're split down the middle too. Well, you're going to post Weslin posts? Fine, I'll post Ben posts. Okay, I'll post more Weslin posts.
I don't,
so
that
it's,
just...
It's insane. It's
well,
insane.
That just, okay, so here's what would have had to have happened for that to have happened. You would have had to have signed in to the Republican Party Marion County Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
not realize that you were signed into it, stumble on to this post.
Not stumble, you would have went specifically, because they come to my page specifically sometimes.
But that's what I'm saying. If they went there specifically and to vote, then they knew what they were doing.
Well, you know what? If that's true, let's just... we can put it either way. It was an accident, or they did it on purpose.
Well, because I think...
It's a sign of the times.
Well, right, because I think the indication here is, as you laid it out, was that they didn't realize they were under this heading, and that's the story here. But how could you... I don't even know how you could do that. I don't even know... That just seems a little...
Well, you know what? That's what people get for having more than one Facebook profile, right?
Well, I guess. I don't know.
As our friend says, as long as you don't lie, you don't have to keep track of them. As long as you don't have more than one Facebook profile, you don't have to worry about logging out.
Right, but all I want to say, even if that did happen, if it did happen, then, but is that an endorsement? I mean,
I don't know. Like, who are you voting for? I mean, that's...
Because isn't that the same page that came down hard on somebody for saying we do not endorse? I mean, what would be the point of that?
Well, rules are for we and not thee.
I don't know.
Rules are for thee and not we. There we go. I got that backwards.
Well, we know.
And so it goes, Spears. It's
and
break time.
So it goes. Very strange stuff. We'll be back after this.
Bye.
354-9683.
OhioNotary.us. Telephone number 740-531.